Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today, listeners, I'm very excited. I've been waiting for this one. I've got Anand and Naina of the Barn B&B Walla Walla here on the show. And the reason I'm so excited is because I was speaking again at the Select Registry Conference back in November in San Diego, and they were in the audience and they had such amazing stories about what they're doing currently at their beautiful hotel. And I wanted them here on our show. So thank you for joining today.
Pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
So I figure let's just start here with listeners, because I want them to check out the website. Why don't you explain what you are doing? What did you create?
So this was the fulfillment of a dream. When we were about 50 years old, we started thinking about what we want to do when I retired from my career in hospitality, where we wanted to be. And we came across this magical little town in eastern Washington that makes the most amazing wine and has warm people that have time for you, that welcome you. And we just fell in love. And that was in 2006 that we fell in love with Walla Walla.
And that's when we bought our land in 2007.
That's amazing. And so talk to us, what is the Barn B&B Walla Walla? How big is it? Where is it located? So people know.
So it's in rural, beautiful Walla Walla, just 10 minutes from downtown and surrounded by farmland and hills. Our land goes down to the river and the little forest down there. But it is a 7-room luxury bed and breakfast. And we brought all our ideas that we picked up over decades in hospitality and decided that we wanted to do something really special here in Walla Walla.
And something different.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought in cuisine from all over the world. Mm. Our life of 45 years is on the walls of all the countries we have lived. And we love sharing that with our guests.
I love that so much. And for listeners, I want you just to pause this. If you're driving, don't do it. But if you're listening in a walk, pause it and check out bnbwallawalla.com, because that's what we're going to be talking about, is this beautiful luxury 7-bedroom B&B. And so let's get started here, because I want to come back to how you got there.
Okay.
You always start the same way. And I'm going to start ladies first.
Okay.
So Naina, tell me, what was your first time working in hospitality?
I did not work in hospitality in a hotel, but I used to do events, organize big events like Halloween galas, the Oscars in Bangkok.
Wow.
And that was a fundraiser. So I was a fundraiser and then found different places where we could donate the money to and make a difference to small rural communities in Thailand. So that's when I started working on the other side of the hotel, where I was actually arranging things, organizing lunches. And that's where my hospitality career started in 2008.
Oh my gosh. So 2008, mm-hmm. You started doing it. Mm-hmm. And now, Anand, you're a little bit different, right?
Why?
How did you start? Because you've had a little bit longer career. So we were talking backstage, listeners, and Anand is a fan of the podcast. He's heard some of the episodes where we do a long career, but Anand, I want to talk about what you created. So
yes.
Give us your history here. Give us the 5-minute recap of what you've done.
Okay. So I focused on hospitality, as in I went to the Ecole Hôtelière de Lausanne in Switzerland. I was the class of 79. So I was there from 76 to 79. And Naina joined me. We got married in 78. So she was there for my last year at school.
And
it is known as the Hotel School of Lausanne in English. And it's really scary because the program is done in French. And I had high school French. I could barely put two sentences together in French. So along with several other non-French speakers, we did a three-month crash course in French to prepare us for the program. So anyway, that makes me fluent in French, which is great.
Amazing.
I then went back to Kenya, where Nena is from, and I worked for a group called Sarova Hotels for several years when I finished with the hotel school. I then spent 10 years with Hilton International in Kuwait, in Khartoum, Sudan, and then in England. I worked at the London Hilton on Park Lane and the Kensington Hilton. And then I worked at the corporate office. Back then, Hilton International and Hilton Corporation in the U.S. were two separate companies. And Hilton International was actually owned by Ladbroke Group, which is a British racing and betting company. And so I was from the hotels. I moved to corporate HR in Watford, England, and retired after 10 years. Not retired. Left Hilton after 10 years. To join Euro Disney. They brought me over one time for an interview and the job wasn't exactly what I wanted. So I went back. I said, I'm very happy at Hilton. I don't plan to leave. And then my then next boss, Leonardo Inghileri, brought me back again for another interview. And this time the job sounded more interesting. And I joined Euro Disney in France. We did the opening of the hotel division. This was the first time that Disney owned, managed, and operated its own hotels. So it was a big deal. And I worked in the HR office at the corporate office for these five hotels. We had over 4,000 rooms, and we opened them all overnight for the opening on April 12, 1992. It was a big deal. Tina Turner came, Cher came. It was an amazing experience. Our kids were the right age to enjoy it. And it was hard work, but it was fun. So that was 3 years. And then I joined the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company in the United States. That was in 1995. And I stayed with them in Atlanta, yes. And then the corporate office moved from Atlanta to Chevy Chase, Maryland. When I joined, Horst Schulze, who is in our industry, he was CEO of the company. And he went on when he finished with Ritz-Carlton to start Capella. And Capella is also doing well all over the world. I was with Ritz-Carlton for 13 years. At the end, I was the vice president of recruitment and selection and all the technical stuff that happens. I had a team of people. We did all the interviews for all the Ritz-Carltons using a very structured interviewing process.
I thought
during the time I was with Ritz-Carlton in 2006, Nena and I started visiting the Northwest because our son was in undergrad in Seattle and then Wharton Natural Medical School in Portland, Oregon. So we started loving the Northwest. And then one time we visited Walla Walla, as we said at the beginning, fell in love. I was still working for the Ritz-Carlton. And then in 2008, I decided I've never worked in Asia. I applied and I joined a company called Six Senses Resorts and Spas. Back then, it was privately owned by the founder, Sonu Shivdasani, and his wife, Eva. And so went to Bangkok, Thailand, and we were there for 9 years. Some of those years with Six Senses and the other part with Thai-owned company called Onyx Hospitality Group. And I retired from them in 2017 and we came to Walla Walla.
Wow. That is an amazing journey of experience.
Yes. And I tried to keep it as brief as I could.
Yeah, but it's just amazing the brands that you work with and the people that you worked with over your career. So you guys are together in Thailand. You retire there. And were you making plans already to come back to Walla Walla and open your place? So I want to hear about that. How does those talks start happening? Was it at dinner one night? You're like, Nena, look, I'm thinking about doing this. Or Nena, was it your idea? How does that start?
Well, we both wanted this. And I think from about 2014, we started making plans. We came more often to Walla Walla. We found an architect. And we had this whole design, we had drawn it.
Naina's been drawing floor plans on corners of napkins in the beginning, but the papers got bigger and bigger. Yeah.
And we gave it to the architect in 2015 saying, this is what we want. And then everything. So it was long distance planning from Bangkok. There wasn't Zoom in those days. We used to have Skype. We used to use.
Right, I remember. 14-hour time difference.
So it was to work with him. And eventually, December, we came. And that's when we interviewed contractors and were excited about moving here permanently in May 2017.
Because this was bare land. There was absolutely nothing on this land, 10 acres. And our friend and neighbor, Steve, who has 400 acres up here of wheat, he planted whatever he wanted so that we could keep the water rights when we did move here.
Wow, that's a good friend right there. So how did you pick that piece of land, right? Because you said you're in Bangkok, you'd visited because your son was here, you started to love the area, but how did you find that? Did you know it right when you saw it, or was it like, this matches the description that we want?
I think we made two trips. The first time we didn't like anything. The second time, our realtor called and said, I found a piece of land that has water rights. I wanted water rights. So this came, and I actually bought it without Anand.
Working on the East Coast. I couldn't keep coming here every time a piece of land popped.
So we bought this, and that was the story. And then 2008, we weren't planning on going to Bangkok in 2007. That just happened.
So when you're finding this land, now you have the land. You've been drawing it on a napkin. You find an architect. And now it's one thing to have a dream. It's another to actually make it happen.
Yes. Right?
So what were the next steps that you took? So if someone's listening to this, like, man, I've had this dream and I've been looking online. I see a piece of land. What did you start doing to make it a reality versus just a drawing on a napkin?
While we were still in Thailand, we made a trip to New Zealand. And we made a point of staying only at bed and breakfasts. And each time we told the owners our dream, they said, come, let's have a glass of wine, or come, let's have a coffee. We want to talk to you and tell you what not to do, what to do right. So we started, making notes. And also, we've been making notes for several years of what we should and shouldn't do in our rooms and all that kind of thing. So these people that we met in New Zealand, we were there for 2 weeks, gave us so much important information. For example, they said, if you're building it yourself, make sure you have your private space.
Your own home.
That you can close off the business and live your life separately whenever you need to. That was a useful one. Do you remember the others?
But also, once the plans were submitted, it took another year before they were approved. So we had a whole year to choose lighting, fixtures, what we wanted to do. We had a lot of time. So when the permit came, our contractor was so ready. In 10 months, the place was up.
Mm-hmm. That's fast, especially for these days. You have that vision. You're getting great advice. You're doing your research. It's interesting that you're asking others for advice because, Anand, you worked in hotels for so long and you worked in big brands, but it's very different, right? So why do something on a smaller scale versus, like you said, you opened 4,000 rooms before, right? Billions of dollars, right? But what was the difference that made you think 7's the right number versus more?
Well, all the advice given by these B&B owners we met in New Zealand.
Never go over 9 rooms.
Never go over 9 rooms.
Oh, why is that? What was that?
After that, they said it becomes hard to manage. You need a lot more staff. Your costs become high. So actually, we were going to build 9.
9. Oh, yeah. We had permission for 12. And the thing is, it's our retirement. It's not like we're starting at the beginning of our career. It's our retirement. So we want a lot of time for us as well, and family, and So it's a nice balance.
That's a good point. It's true.
With the huge companies and tens and tens of thousands of employees. Yes.
Yeah, it just clicked as you said it, right? Because I look at you as business owners and you have this amazing product that you've created, but you're right. It's something that you wanted for your retirement, mm-hmm. your lifestyle, but also have something that's worthy of what you've all done. It's amazing to see what you've created. Just looking at your Google reviews is amazing. You have like a perfect Google review score online, which is almost impossible to get. All right. I want to go now. You got your permits. You had everything open in 10 months. Do you remember the opening day? Was it full? Was it one person? Was it a family member? How was it when you opened the first day?
We had a pre-opening where my girlfriends came for 2 weekends.
Okay.
And gave their feedback.
And yeah, some of them came from China, Singapore, Bangkok. These are friends who we met in Bangkok. I met in Bangkok. Some of them were living in the U.S., some were not. Everybody was so excited because I've been talking about Walla Walla and the Barn B&B for 9 years in Bangkok. So they came and it was great because I had a great feedback from them. Mm-hmm. And then April, what they call spring kickoff in Walla Walla, is when we opened. It's the big weekend for Cayuse. And we were fully booked for that weekend. It was our first weekend we opened.
Yeah. So what was that like? Do you remember that feeling when you saw strangers in your place?
A little crazy because we were trying to figure so many things out. And our front, the lawn in front of the rooms was a big mess.
It was mud, basically.
It was mud because
the pool permit hadn't come through yet. So the landscaper said, I can't plant anything till the pool comes. The pool didn't come for another year, unfortunately.
Wow.
Because the permitting took so long.
Yeah. So you open with a big mud pit out front, sold out, your first weekend. Is there anything that stands out from that time that you remember?
I think we were doing too many things then. We were trying to do too much. So now we know less is more. We've learned that over the years. Mm-hmm. We used to offer a Thursday night dinner
and
Monday. So we stopped the Monday. Then we stopped the Thursday 2 years ago.
It really helped the business. We did 2 complimentary dinners a week. They were included in your room rate. So people obviously found that very attractive.
Of course.
We dropped the Monday, I don't remember
after
when.
After a couple of months.
Thursday was great because people who used to come to Walla Walla on a Friday evening, wine taste Saturday and leave Sunday morning, started coming on Thursday and even Wednesday to catch our dinner. So we extended the weekend for people. It helped Walla Walla because they go and drink wine there, they shop, so...
But I think the biggest shock was COVID.
Yeah, so what happened during COVID? Did Wukwa shut down or was it?
We closed for the winter. That gives us a chance to visit our kids in Los Angeles, to travel. Her mom is in Kenya. So we do close. So we opened in April 2019.
March.
We closed for the winter and then we reopened March 1st. 2020, after the winter,
2 weeks,
we had 2 rooms occupied, and then 1 week later, we had to close. Yes. And it was scary. That was scary.
But I have to say, once we opened, all the guests that came to us in 2019, every single one of them came back to us.
Wow.
Especially if they were from driving distance. And those are our guests that we still have today after on our 7th year. They still keep
coming. You're talking about it. It's amazing. It's go ahead.
The way the place is laid out, you know, the rooms, they have independent entry. Every room has its separate air conditioning. We have mini splits. People knew that because, you know, once we figured out that it wasn't everything you touch, but what you breathe, we put on our website, you don't share air with anybody in your rooms, for example. So.
Yeah, that's a great way to market it. And I love that everyone has their own entry, right? You have your own doors, you get to your own place. You don't have to really be around everyone that you don't need because I'm looking at the pictures now that I've saved over here. But I want to talk about now the experience because you were planning this for 9 years, right? You say you were drawing it out. Talk about the experience you started creating, because you have some very unique things that you've done, whether it's the loyalty program or some events that you have, like you said, and some things caught my ear when I was at this conference. Yes. I remember you raised your hand a couple of times. I remember sitting in the middle of the room and it sucked to me all the things that you were doing.
So one of the things we do is guest watch. So we ask our guests to text us when they're about 15 minutes away so that we can welcome them warmly. And so one of us will sit in the office where we can see when guests arrives. And then we go. And then whoever's doing guest watch in the office texts or calls the other one so that we both go and to the vehicle and welcome our guests. Sometimes the guests don't know what we look like because they haven't watched the video on our website. Yeah. So they think we're just guests, and then they're surprised that we're coming out to the vehicle to welcome them.
They're always surprised by the warm welcome because they don't get that anywhere else.
I would be shocked if I came up and you said people to me, I'd be like, wow, thank you.
And if you came the second time, I'd probably give you a big hug.
So then we walk them through the front door, and then we say, Maina's going to show you how we check. We have our special ritual. So they wonder what that is.
And that's when they gong in.
I told you. What did we say? This is for Sarah. We gong in.
We have a very old gong. Actually, it's of multiple gongs and a symbol from Myanmar, purchased when we were in Thailand. And so the guests, when we say there's check-in, they think they need to sign something. They think it's some kind of procedure. And then Naina shows them how to gong in. And then you tell them to forget.
Oh, yeah, to leave all their worries behind, forget everything, and enjoy the next couple of days with us. And they all go.
Yeah, I feel it right now. As you're talking, I feel very calm when Naina talks. How you are, Ananda, is she just like this for the show today?
Brings a smile to their face. And then we bring them into this beautiful dining room with very high ceilings. All the things we've collected over our 45 years together. Not all of them, because some are in our home. The rest are in the dining room. And then we offer them a welcome drink. Walla Walla Wine, to welcome them to wine country.
That's a beautiful arrival experience.
And we visit with them for a little while, and then we take them to their rooms.
Make sure they can get in. And in the room, there are two welcome chocolates. And why that's important is because this candy store, Bright's, has been around since 1940 or something. Mm-hmm. 2023, it won the best candy store in the United States on USA Today. So we've been giving their chocolates to our guests ever since we opened.
I love this welcome experience. You thought about it. You're greeting people by name. Like you already know, it's like you're hitting every Forbes standard plus more, and you're making sure people feel cared for. And that's what people are looking for, is that experience. So once they're there with you, you know, they get to explore, they go wine tasting, they do their thing. What happens in the evening? You guys go to sleep. Is there anything for them to do at night, or is it really they're on their own?
Well, they provide almost like a concierge service, and we have 9 partnerships with wineries. So long before they come, they get an email from me that tells them about these partnerships. So if you're just staying 2 nights, earns you 3 partnerships with wineries, complimentary tastings, discounted wine. No one else does this. We're in wine country. There are other bed and breakfasts here. Nobody does this. If you stay 3 nights, you get an additional 2 complimentary tastings, discounted wine. If you stay 4 nights or more, another 2. And then if you visit our website, those who are listening, there is one room that's really special. We built it to look like a grain silo. And this whole thing kind of, we wanted it to blend with the surrounding farmland. If you stay in that one, it's called the granary, then you go to a really special complimentary tasting at a winery called Force Majeure, just for that room. So, you know, special.
I like that. I like that hook. This one room, if you book this one room, you get something even better.
And tastings have become very expensive now. You know, force majeure tasting is $50 per person.
Wow.
The others are $20, $25. So the guests get a lot of benefit by staying with us. Just tastings. Some of our partners also give them a cheese plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their name on the table when they arrive with a cheese plate waiting for them. So this is all part of hospitality continuing from extended from us.
I love this. You, and tell me about what happens with your loyalty program and people returning. How does that work?
So, Hannah,
the first time
when they come back the second time, we give them a bottle of Walla Walla wine in their room. But they come back the third time. We've just changed it.
Yeah.
Before they come, we offer them one of two experiences at a winery. And this isn't just a tasting. It's a tour of the vineyard, a tour of the winemaking processing facility. And in one of them, a chocolate and wine pairing. In the other one, a wine tasting. So they get that when they come the third time.
And we take care of that. So
I love that.
When they come the fourth time, they plant a tree and we commemorate it with a plaque. We take photographs. And I say to them, you're now putting roots down in the place that you already love. And it's a very moving.
Very emotional.
Yeah. Sometimes there's hugs and
there's tears. And we had a couple just plant a tree last week and they have a song for planting a tree. So their friends said the prayer.
I love this. See, I remember you saying this. Now continue. I'll ask my question.
We have now about 25 trees planted by our guests all over the place with the plaques. And they like to revisit when they come back after that. They like to go and see their tree growing, you know?
That's amazing. So 100 stays, we'll say, right? Because four times you get a visit, you got 25 trees out there. That's amazing that people are doing that over and over. You're building an amazing loyalty program. This is what I want people to know about. Because when I heard that, it still stuck in my mind. And I knew it right when I saw your face. That was something that I remembered.
And we something on the fifth time.
Oh, makes a surprise.
This is a prize, so we don't understand.
We don't understand.
All right, listeners, you got to get the five visits at the Bar and B&B to find out.
One guest that's come nine times.
Nine times, yeah.
You know, so, but after the fifth time, there are no more.
Well, I love that because, you know, I'm part of we're building something here in Miami. And so you got me a little nervous. I have to think, because we're doing 20 units, but it's all outdoors in on a farm, and it's a tropical fruit farm. And I'll send you some pictures after them if you're curious. I've learned a lot of what you're doing, and it's stuck in my head, the planting of the trees and the plants. Like, that's been in my mind as I've been doing this. So I wanted you to know that it's made a lot of impact just from you answering questions at that day. I was there to teach, and you all taught me as well. But I want to talk now. So you give us a story of your careers. You built this amazing place that's making a difference in Walla Walla, and you're creating unique experiences. And you said you're in your retirement age now, but you're still going strong. What are you most excited about? I'm not asking your five-year plan, but maybe in the next 12 months, what are you most excited about coming up?
We're most excited about the business staying, you know, with everything that's going on right now. We have to.
And we keep talking about what we can do.
Yes.
To make it different again. Mm-hmm. We have to keep thinking about things. What else do people want?
Yep.
And there's also younger people are not drinking as much wine as millennials are just not into wine so much. So we're trying to figure out how Walla Walla is trying to figure out how to bring younger people in.
I think for you, as we talk, I mentioned it, wellness is a big component that people look for now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something big that people will lean on, and you can do a lot of things that don't require staff, right? There's a lot of things like that. I'm happy to chat with you afterwards too, that I'm seeing a lot of things. But I see also too, you know, a lot of wellness drinking, right? So all different kinds of drinks now that are not alcoholic. I see a lot of people use those when they're CBD based or THC. I don't know if it's legal up there or not, but there's all different kinds of things going on that people are consuming at a higher rate. But you all are doing an amazing job with the experience. And that's what I wanted people to hear. So these listeners, this episode is a little different because usually we follow the careers. We did get to hear the careers of Anand, and we did get to hear about Nano and what you've been doing. But I really wanted to share the amazing things that you're doing. And even with seven rooms, you still have people coming back for 100 times to plant trees and to plant the roots in your community, which I think is so special for people. But before we end, I want to go back to a light little piece of advice from both of you. Okay, we're going to go with Anand first. So if you could go back to young Anand, who's starting at the hospitality school, and whisper some advice in his ear, and he was starting out today, what advice would you give him?
I would say, join an industry where growth comes fast. It comes quickly. You've got to work hard. It's hard work, yes. And then once you reach a certain level, if you also want to see the world as I did, you can. And you can start in the Middle East, for example. All the workers in the hospitality industry come from overseas and grow from there. So this is the industry that you can grow in and travel with. That's what you're looking for.
All right. And Naina, for you, what advice would you give young Naina, who just happened to meet a handsome Anand at the university?
Well, when you marry a man like Arnold, who's traveling all over the world, a lot of those countries do not allow you to work.
Yeah.
They work permit restrictions, which is fully hard on someone who just wants a career. So you really have to then think about, what else can I still grow? How do I grow myself? And for me, it was charity work. I was bringing up our children in all these countries, and keeping the family stable was also very important, because it's a new culture, new languages. The kids are moving to different schools every 2 years. So keeping that stability, but also at the same time fulfilling my own dreams of working and doing whatever I wanted to do without a salary. So you won't get paid if you are
a trailing spouse.
And we had friends who used to say, in my next life, I want to be the trailing spouse.
Yeah, you get to do some fun things. And the hard work in HR, I know how hard it is.
But we all, the wives, because the hotel communities were very small, very connected. So the wives, the partners became very good friends. But we went out and we did a lot. Especially like in Disney. At Disney, we had Les Femmes, Les Dames de Disney, where the women held a huge space for volunteering.
You started a multilingual school,
Bilingual school. We started a bilingual school
French.
For the children who came to Disney, so they could have both languages. But besides that, Disney did a lot of charity stuff, where they brought kids with difficulties, and we took care of them. We took them to the park. We fed them. We took care of them. So there was a lot you can give. There's a lot of giving. So, and then in I bloomed late in life, let's say that, in Bangkok.
Well, I love it. I love the advice that you've given. And I have one more question. I've never asked this question.
Yes.
I think I'm going to ask. I see you all working together. You've had a beautiful life so far together with a lot more to go. How long have you been married now?
47
this year.
All right. So for listeners, I'm in year 12 of marriage, and there are ups and downs. What marriage advice would you give the listeners out there? It's at 47 years.
I think be a good listener. Be a good listener, because I think sometimes we have things in our mind, but if you don't listen, you're interpreting in your way without seeing what your partner has to say.
Very good advice. How about from you, Anand? Anything you want to add, or should we wrap on that?
We can wrap on that.
I think that is some great advice, you see? Well, listen, I appreciate both of you being on the podcast today. Listeners, pause this. go check out bnbwallawalla.com. See what they're doing over there. Yes.
I have one more thing to say. We never had worked together before. This is our first time. So we decided to have our own roles.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our own roles, what we do. Otherwise, it would be chaotic. So we have our own roles. We talk to each other about it, but we have our own things that we take care of.
You don't have your staff meeting, Anand? You have your staff meeting with you too?
No. Rich Carlton's famous lineup.
Lineup in the credo in every morning? No.
It's so much easier to make decisions and try things out with just two of us.
I agree. No, nothing to get in the way of doing it. And I can tell you, listeners, make sure to check them out. Anand and Anna, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you sharing your story. And listeners, if you found anything great in this story or in this podcast, your friends will too. So make sure to forward this podcast over to them. Do it right now. Pause it and send it over to them. Have a great rest of the day, everybody, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.